turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
Good morning and welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Tuesday morning. And if I think about what we talk about each and every day, we talk about the challenges that are existing in the world and how it impacts you and I, because the stressors of life, it could be anything from politics to food prices to any of the challenges that happen, they have an impact on us. They have an impact on our mental wellness. Now, this is exacerbated out when you think about those less fortunate in our communities. You think about some of the social problems. How many times are we talking about the drug issues? We're talking about homelessness, mental health, and the complexities that come with that. What does it look like for the women and men that are every day out there trying to help those people? These are the people, and I'm proud to say many of them were colleagues of mine through the years. These are the people that are entrusted as emergency responders. They're out there to make a difference. They're out there to make it better for people. But don't think for a second that it doesn't wear on them. I'm thinking about firefighters. I'm thinking about paramedics, police, first responders of many kinds. Some cases, they're volunteers. We have had volunteer firefighters and first responders in small communities on this show who have everyday normal lives until that call comes. And then they step into a situation that could, in many cases, can change them forever. That's why I'm proud of the fact that we are making advances. They are slow. They are methodical. They don't happen overnight. But I do truly believe that we are stepping in the right direction. And there's groups of people that are coming together from different avenues to make this happen. I'm proud of the fact that Regina is playing host to a big conference this week from SIPCERT. Now, we've had SIPCERT on the show before, a couple of times, actually, in anticipation of this. SIPCERT stands for the Canadian Institute for Public Safety Research and Treatment. And they have got a conference that focuses on first responders, teaching and giving them ways to deal with experiences so that we don't lose frontline responders, so that we don't have extra pressure on those that are left out there to do this work. And because of this conference, we have professionals coming from all over Canada, including my next guest, who has been on this show before. Derek Schenko is Chief Mental Health Officer and CEO of Diversified Rehabilitation Group. And I'm so proud to have Derek Schenko joining me in studio. Welcome to Saskatchewan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You picked a good time of year to be here, because a few months ago, you wouldn't have been loving this if you come from BC.
Oh, I'm accustomed to that weather. I lived in Winnipeg.
There you go. Yeah, then it doesn't matter when you come to Regina. It's always going to be a treat. So I did a bit of a setup there, Derek, about the importance of taking care of first responders. This is basically your life's work right now. Talk a little bit about what your organization, Diversified Rehabilitation Group, is all about.
So Diversified Rehabilitation Group is a Kelowna-based company, and part of our business is to be there for first responders and veterans, specifically when it comes to addressing post-traumatic stress disorder, mm-hmm. occupational stress injury, being there for them where they need us the most and giving back to them for everything that they do for us to keep us safe.
What prompted you to get into this? Is a pretty specific line of work. What prompted you to get into that?
Well, how much time do you have?
Lots of time for you.
So it's my own journey. When I came to Winnipeg, I mentioned when I immigrated from Poland to Canada, and I landed in beautiful city Winnipeg. And my first degree or vocational experience is in civil slash mechanical engineering. Shortly after, I got a job with a tubing company in Winnipeg when I had my own injury. It was a physical injury, which left me with an injury to my left hand. But not knowing much about post-traumatic stress disorder, that condition kicked in my life. And I was stuck in that bubble for over 4 years. I didn't know what to do with this. I don't know how to go about that. As a grown man, I would wet the bed, not by choice, but all of those nightmares and sleep deprivation. Mm. So I decided to, obviously, thanks to great people, I got better. And I was also at the point of my career deciding which direction I want to go. So I learned the language, and then I decided to go into social work and do my social work, because I was always in a helping profession outside the work hours, helping people, working with kids, working with adults, helping them to get better. So I decided to go into social work. I finished social work, and because I was on WCB benefits, I approached WCB if they will consider me in Winnipeg to have a practicum with them. Long story short, they hired me as a first injury worker to work with mental health cases and helping individuals to get better. So from that point forward, I started working with injury workers. Some of them were first responders. Some of them were civilians. And later I transitioned to my own business. And in 2012, I know was just about to change when it comes to trauma and addressing trauma in our first responders world, meaning it became the law that post-traumatic stress, if it's a compensable injury. So I said we need to decide whether we want to move forward and develop something for first responders when they would have an opportunity to come and heal. And here we are today.
Mm-hmm. Derek Schenko is my guest, Chief Mental Health Officer and CEO of Diversified Rehabilitation Group. Thank you for disclosing the journey that you went on, because that does give you a foundation and understanding. Was there things that you learned that you saw in your journey to getting well that are foundational building blocks in what you do through Diversified Rehabilitation Group? Things that you said, wow, this is a catalyst to me getting help, and we need to find a way to make that work for first responders?
One thing that I learned, actually more than one, but some of them were guilt and shame. Guilt of what happened to me, and shame reaching out for help. Because as a person back then, well, at a family of two, I felt that I failed my family, that I went through that accident. I didn't think that's going to be emotional. I went through this accident, but I supposed to be there for my family. And then reaching out for help. One of the first thing I thought is I should be able to take care of myself, and I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Your emotion is getting me, because that to me is the strength of good leadership in this, is people that are willing to share, because sharing can help that next person. You never know. We used to run into this in the police service all the time, is we would have people who would be off work. They would come back and say, I want to do a video testimonial that sends out to all the staff, because I want all staff to understand what I went through. And if I can help them, and many times staff members would say, wow, if it can happen to so-and-so, it can happen to any of us. And so that ability to share, I think, is an important thing, Derek. So never apologize for your emotion. In fact, I think it's probably why it drives you to success. Can you talk about what's different when you're talking about mental health and wellness for first responders? How are they different?
Well, they're the people that are there to run into the fire when everybody's trying to get out of there. So they have that huge sense of responsibility to support, to be. And when they start piling, when the stress or trauma starts piling up with them, for them, when that self-compassion question comes into play, they frequently feel very guilty. And there's a sense of failure that they should be able to look after themselves. And reaching out for help is not easy, because there's a self-stigma, and there's also a stigma that exists in the society. Mm-hmm. So for them, reaching out for help, they all not only feel that this is a failure, that they fail themselves, but they also fail their peers, that they also fail their organization, that they fail the public, that they fail their families.
Mm-hmm. In your, I've got an opinion piece that you wrote here in the Star, and you talk about barriers to treatment that first responders continue to face. What are some examples of those, and what are ways you see, hopefully, we're overcoming those?
So through my experience working with first responders and being part of helping system that is there for first responders, one of them is that when they come and reach out for help, we need to get on this right way. Because first of all, it's very hard for them to reach out for help. And I don't think we are responsive enough to address that by either having a psychological assessment or having awareness when it comes what first responders need to be there for them. Mm-hmm. We are 100% doing better than we used to, but it's still not enough. Mm-hmm. And that's why we put that campaign forward, to raise the awareness, to bring everybody together, the same way as the Cyprus does today. What can we do to raise the bar to be more effective for them?
Derek Schenko is my guest, Chief Mental Health Officer, CEO of Diversified Rehabilitation Group. Sometimes for people, whether it's to identify in a loved one, in a coworker, that they are in a form of crisis, or even for self-identification, it's understanding what are the signs that crisis is happening. What are some ways that you have seen this manifest itself in different people that are first responders that ultimately need to get help from a mental health perspective?
In terms of reaching out for help?
Yeah. So what are the ways, you know, for example, job performance can go down. You typically mm-hmm. could see maybe an increase in a number of complaints. You could see people booking off sick more often. I'm guessing that when you talk with people that are either colleagues or family members of individuals that reach out to get help, you'll hear a number of ways in which this has become an issue for them and what they are observing. What are some of those things?
So again, many different things. Like on the family level, when you are first responders and you have family of first responders, you see that disconnection, them being numb, them not being able to share. In the first responders world, when they start closing down, meaning when they stop talking, it impacts the entire family. In the work environment, you will see increase of sick times or sometimes the addiction that kicks in just to take the pain away and not responding effectively to the calls. And then there's also a lot of guilt attached to that, because if I'm not able to respond, then I'm failing the citizens, I'm failing my peers.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. In terms of treatment options, there's a variety of ways in which people will get help through this, but it's, I'm guessing, not a one size fits all. It very much depends on the individual. What are some common ways in which treatment can make a difference for people?
One thing, and I'm a little bit biased or controversial, this one, it cannot be a cookie cutter.
Right.
We need to customize the treatment to the first responders' needs. And as you can imagine, first responders under that umbrella, there are a number of different professions under this umbrella, but there's many common things that they share. One thing that we need to be very cognizant about is that we cannot mix first responders with the general public when it comes to treatment. This is a specific population, that has specific trauma mm-hmm. That they see on a daily basis, where an average individual maybe will see two or three times in their lifespan. So for that reason, we need to have specifically designed programs only for first responders, where they can come together and share the stories, because that's how they bond and that's how they earn the trust of sharing. Mm-hmm. And you allow and then earning your trust to trying to be and help them in that journey of recovery. The other one is we need to be very careful when we are assessing first responders' needs. There's a group of first responders that obviously will have trauma and addiction component, and addiction programs might be a good fit for them, or day programs, or inpatient programs, meaning residential programs. When there's no addiction involved, we cannot be sending our first responders to addiction programs, because they have nothing in common with this population group. So we need to pay attention and really listen to their needs and be there for them in addressing them.
Derek Schenko is my guest. We're up against the clock and almost out of time, but here's my question to take us into the break is, we spend a lot of time and effort reducing barriers, reducing stigma, encouraging people to reach out, to talk, to peer support, to get help, all of this to get them healthy and back to work. But back to work means back into the same environment that gave them those challenges to begin with. What can be done in terms of resiliency and protection for members once they get that journey to health and being back to work, so that they don't have a relapse and they don't fall into the same pitfalls again?
Starting from a get-going, when you onboard a new first responder, it should be exactly what the U.S. Army is doing for their members. There's a pre-deployment mental health awareness. There's during deployment and post-deployment. Mm. We need to do a better job in this area. We are not doing well enough in order to support our first responders. And there also, we organizationally, I think from the leadership perspective, we need to be there for leaders and coach them how to work with boots on the ground, first responders. Because I strongly believe that leaders also go through their journey of mental health wellness. Mm-hmm. And being there for the leaders, training them how to be a leader, authentic leader, and also how to look after yourself as a leader, will eliminate that barrier and close people together and help them to return to work more successfully, normalizing it.
Derek, this has been a really good chat. The good news is I'm having you back on the show. In fact, in a couple of weeks, you're joining our roundtable of justice. We have Casey Ward, who's a police officer in Regina, also the president of the Saskatchewan Federation of Police Officers, and we're going to do a roundtable on mental health. Casey is the chair of CIPCERT, of course, the conference that's happening in Regina this week. And having you on, I think it's going to be a powerful combination. I'm looking forward to that chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Even though we ran out of time today, we'll have a little more runway on the 26th of May, and I'm looking forward to that. Derek, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Derek Shenko, Chief Mental Health Officer and CEO of Diversified Rehabilitation Group, and again, in town for the CIPCERT conference. CIPCERT, Canadian Institute for Public Safety Research and Treatment, and that conference starts up tomorrow in the Queen City. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.